Hey, Jackie, I'm on.
Zach, Evan Ash, welcome.
What's up?
Usual stuff. What's it doing in your neighborhood?
Everything's good. It's cold here, so.
Yeah, it's winter.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Cool.
Really appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure.
So for anybody who's just joining us, we're on with Zach Evanesh, the creator of the Underground Strength Manual and undergroundstrengthcoach.com. And, Zach, first of all, I'd love to say that I love your book, Underground Strength Manual, and it's no BS approach to getting strong and in shape in a way that works in real life and not just in a bathing suit. And I also want to point out that Underground Strength Manual is a great resource for trainers, but it's a priceless resource for anyone, men and women, who want to get strong and ripped. So it doesn't matter who you are. You have to listen to Zach today because he knows his stuff when it comes to working out hard and smart without needing a membership to one of those fluffy gyms. Anyway, so before we get started talking about the book and your workout methods, Zach, tell us how you got started out in the fitness biz.
So, I mean, I've been doing, you know, I've been training since I remember it was like 2 weeks before I finished eighth grade, so a long time ago, I was 13 and a half, I'm 34 now, so a little over 20 years been training.
Wow.
And, I mean, I was really bit by the bug. I just loved to train. And from my days basically as like a 13-year-old, even to this day, it's like what's always on my mind. It's like, how do I transform the human body? How do I improve physical performance? How do I use training to improve the mind and, you know, all psychological aspects? So it's been, you know, two decades of in the trenches, and I'm talking, I never took time away except for I must have taken like 3 weeks away from the gym back when I was finishing college. But other than that, it's just been constant in the trenches. And what really got me hyped up on the style of training that I utilize now was, you know, growing up I was an athlete, and I still am an athlete, but I was a competitive athlete, mainly in wrestling, and training like a bodybuilder physically, you know, looked great, but the performance didn't follow, and I just accrued a lot of injuries, and the last serious injury was an ACL tear, and that really kind of set me on the path of really kind of digging into a deeper method of training that's like, you know, people call it functional, some people call it real-world strength. But I basically wanted to get out of the gym, not just because of my poor results and performance that came from bodybuilding training, but the atmosphere, you know, hardcore lifting, basically, I felt like it died. And hardcore gyms started shutting down, or they started trying to cater to, you know, everybody and anybody. And I always liked a real aggressive environment, loud music, heavy weights, serious people around me, and I could not find that anywhere except for this one gym. And basically life got busier and busier, and I just couldn't, it was basically like a 30-minute ride each way, so I eventually just said, you know what, it's time to build my own hardcore gym, and that's kind of what started me to doing, really going on my own.
Wow, so you've got the Underground Strength, you've got an actual gym in New Jersey now.
Yep, so this
right.
gym, I've had this gym for about 2.5 years, a little bit longer, and before that, I'd say it was probably about 6-7 years ago when I stopped going to, you know, like a traditional gym. I started training in garages, backyards, and just doing my own thing.
Right, so you don't just train yourself, you train other people as well.
Oh, yeah, we've got, like, this morning I trained wrestlers from a Division I school, and then from 4 to 8 p.m., the majority of my clients are high school or collegiate or post-collegiate athletes, and everybody's a competitive athlete, from ranging from, you know, I train rowers, football players, wrestlers, judoka athletes, baseball players, basketball, soccer, there's just so many different sports, and we train them all, you know, to be athletic, to be explosive, to have high levels of conditioning, strength, not just, you know, physical, but mental strength is a huge thing. The expectations, I think, of people have just plummeted big time, and everybody's so concerned with making things too hard. And that's the first thing I get out of the way with people is I say, I'm not lying to anybody. And number one thing you're going to have to understand is with training, with any training that's going to get results, you're going to have to bust your ass. And I know you know all about that. There's just no way you're going to get into any kind of, you know, fitness or any kind of shape without hard work. It's just, it's not going to happen.
That's right. It's hard work. So you don't, there's, you would say that bodybuilders don't, you're not training bodybuilders. All your guys are functional athletes and that kind of thing.
Right, exactly.
So I just wanted to know if you could elaborate a little bit on why bodybuilding per se is not the same as functional training. What's the difference between those two?
I mean, the main difference is if you really want to look at like one big difference, you know, I'm actually right next to a bodybuilding gym. The majority of stuff they do is either locked in on a machine of some sort or they're sitting down, laying down. The majority of stuff we do is ground-based, so we're not sitting down, laying down. That's number one. Number two, you know, we are no machines. You know, we prefer to say that we will build you into a machine. We're not going to be on a machine that's like guiding your motion and not requiring your body to really work to its max. So that's going to be the main difference. And we don't do a whole lot of isolation exercises. We do more movements. We do isolate when we need to, especially when we need to bring up a weak area. But we do a lot more movement. So you're not going to catch us doing a whole lot of things like side, you know, shoulder lat, you know, side laterals, concentration curls, things like that. We will have isolation movements, but for the majority, we're doing a lot of, you know, what I call the big lift. So it's squatting, pushing, pulling, carrying, dragging, throwing, jumping, lunging, climbing, rotating, movements of that nature where you're required to move the object or the implement and your own body as opposed to, you know, reducing weight with a machine pin and whatnot. And I've been there, and those workouts, I mean, you could be physically strong. It's relative to what you do. You know, when I was bodybuilding, I was squatting and deadlifting and benching very heavy. But what I was really missing out on was my ability to perform as an athlete by training like that. So that was the missing link. It didn't have a carryover to the real world stuff that I needed to make happen.
Yeah, I love that. What you said at the beginning there, we'll train you to be a machine. That's awesome. Okay, so we're talking a little bit about commercial gyms here. You touched on it for just 1 second, and I know you've got some pretty strong opinions about commercial gyms, so why don't you share those with us?
Yeah, I'm just really, you know, I'm tired of what they've created. There's no atmosphere. There's no loud music. There's too many rules. You know, it really steals the thunder of any sort of a serious lifter. And I remember when I trained, I mean, this wouldn't be considered a commercial gym. It was a real hardcore bodybuilding gym. But the owner, he grew up in the 70s as a real serious bodybuilder, 70s and 80s. So that was, you know, the beginning of the golden era, that 60s, 70s time. And he ran his gym, basically, the music was extremely loud, and what that did was it kind of squashed any chance of you trying to converse with your training partner or other people, because you just couldn't hear each other. So the only focus that you had when going into the gym was to lift hard and lift heavy. And he also saw lifting as like an art form, and he didn't want to create rules to that, so the guys would like park their motorcycles on the sidewalk, so it was like the old like cowboy saloons of the old west or whatever, where they would just park their horses outside the bar saloons, and all these guys would park whatever it was that they were riding, Harley Davidson or those crotch rockets, those street racing bikes, and the place just had atmosphere. And the one rule that everybody knew was bust your ass. People that would be in there, even if you didn't know what you were doing, you'd see guys in there lifting hard. Like, people were doing cable crossovers with enormous amounts of weight, hitting it hard and using some body momentum. You know, that was something where everybody understood to go hard. Just yesterday, I passed by a gym, and, like, everybody's, like, talking to each other and, like, hanging around and just, you know, pussyfooting around and just training like a bunch of wimps. And, this is my personal opinion. I can't stand that crap. It kills really what fitness is all about. And it's just real. I just feel bad in one respect because the new style gyms, like all these, like, you know, they call them global gyms, it pushed people into training in basements and garages when back in the day we had places where we could connect. You know, when there was a real hardcore gym in my own town, I mean, it was shoulder-to-shoulder packed. And in the springtime, that was around the beginning of bodybuilding season when bodybuilding shows were coming up. And, like, I felt like more than half of the guys in there were competing for a bodybuilding show. Like, you would just see all these guys were, like, with their tank tops and ripped and tan and training hard, and everybody would talk training, and there was a juice bar, and it was talking of nutrition and different training methods. You know, you don't find that stuff, you know, that is definitely not commonplace anymore. And what happened to that gym was that guy, the owner, must have felt that, like, a different fitness boom was coming, so he got rid of, this is how long ago it was, he got rid of the tape deck. So there were no CD players at the gym. It was a tape deck. And then he painted all the equipment white with like a powder baby blue padding.
Oh,
and
no.
I remember as if it was like, I swear it was as if like a tornado or a hurricane swept through. All these hardcore people literally disappeared within several days. I'm not talking weeks, like several days. The place went from a very busy and from a business standpoint, real profitable place, and then it was dead. And it was a big gym, like 7,500 square feet of space, all welded equipment, but it was all like brown and tan and just very aggressive. And men and women trained there. It wasn't just a man's gym. And he changed it, and it went into this little, you know, total wimpy gym. And then about a year and a half, 2 years later, went out of business and shut down. And the biggest mistake was thinking that nobody wants to lift hardcore. And that's a huge mistake because a lot of people want to lift hard. And
yeah.
I think some people are just completely confused by what, you know, people really want. They don't want to be in a place with low mellow music and all these rules and just, you know, too much crap.
Well, one of the gyms that I go to, when I do go to a gym, which is seldom, they keep the music pretty low, and you find the people that are there that are serious are all wearing their own MP3 players, and they have it cranked.
Exactly.
You know, like, you need the loud music. You know, they don't want to hear the wimpy stuff that the gym's pumping out, the, you know, low levels. Let's not hurt our ears or anything.
I know. It's too bad that people have to walk around with, like, what if, you know, we wanted training partners. How can you train in a group of 2, 3, 4, 5 people when everybody's wearing their iPod? It just, you know what I mean? Their MP3.
Yeah.
Like, you can't communicate with each other. You can't, you know, explain what you want, what you want happening. So it's unfortunate. It does sadden me a little bit. You know, I'm really connected with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's not much like that around my area. That's why I choose to work out at home for other reasons as well. But before we move on to that, I was wondering if you could give us your opinion about the machines you find in these commercial gyms. I know you've got some strong opinions about machines,
you know,
versus free weights.
Smith machine, leg extension, leg curl, every possible machine to work your triceps and biceps. I mean, I'd rather much see a bunch of squat racks and a bunch of climbing ropes and a ton of dip bars and all kinds of different bars for pull-ups with thick bars and straight bars and bars that are curved or close grip. That's the kind of stuff that will not only build really a functional body that could perform in the real world. And I'm talking functional for anything. That's even better for, you know, just a stay-at-home mom who's always running after her kids, who has to constantly you know, squat down, lunge, pick up, run, that makes them much more fit compared to being on all these isolated machines. And those machines really, you know, if you're going to isolate a small muscle, 90% of your body isn't working. But if we're doing pull-ups and dips and climbing rope and squatting and deadlifting, we're working our lower body, upper body, grip, abs.
Yeah.
That's true core stabilization, or just core work, where your trunk has to remain stable, your hips have to be in alignment, you know, everything has to be tight when you perform these movements. And that's actually why the physiques of the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, you know, those were those classical physiques. They had, like, those beautiful lines. The men were really built more like, you know, the Greek statues. Today, it's, you know, such a different game in bodybuilding. But back in the day, those physiques were really amazing and also very attainable, you know, if somebody would train that way. And most gyms, you know, they're not gonna set up an entire gym of free weights and things like that. Not a commercial gym. But I, you know what? I always say that, you know, when I have a little bit more leeway in my schedule, I want to open one of those hardcore gyms, not too big, not, you know, I want to keep it somewhat private and be very, you know, selective and make sure that the negative people or the lazy asses aren't allowed in, but get another gym that has lots of power racks and it's functional, but it's going to be, you know, my gym right now is always, you're always under a coach. The one in the future will be a place where there will be freedom to learn, and I'll have like a strongman library of all my old books where, you know, because I have a funny feeling there will be a day when kids will be like I was, where all I wanted to do was kind of go to the library and find all the old bodybuilding books and learn on my own. And even though you and I were on the internet and we give a lot of great information through the internet, there's so much misinformation on the internet that
yep.
people don't have to think for themselves anymore. You know, the way I learned was I actually lifted. I actually
yeah.
worked out. Today, you know, you talk to a kid or anybody and they're like, oh, I was on the internet and I'm reading this website and her blog and his blog and that website and I saw this TV show. It's, you're so bogged down with information, you don't have to think for yourself anymore. It kind of takes away, like, any specialness behind the learning of all these things on your own.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Back to free weights and machines and all that stuff, I just wanted to say that I work out. I do have a gym membership, but I barely ever go. I work out at home. I have a full stack of free weights here, and I go down to the seawall here in Vancouver to do my cardio and do
yep.
a lot of HIIT and hill sprints and stuff like that. So there's a lot of people here that are interested in setting themselves up for a home training thing. So I'm just wondering what kinds of equipment you could recommend for an actual home gym setup if they weren't going to go out and buy a membership at a gym.
Yeah, if you're going to train at home, and let's say, you know, I'm not even going to go as far as to say you need, like, to set up a garage gym. You could get away with a couple sets of dumbbells, and you don't even need pairs of dumbbells. You know, you don't even need matching weights. You could just have one of each weight, and maybe just start out with three dumbbells, a light, a medium, and a heavy dumbbell. And you could do all kinds of full body movements, or just upper body, or just lower body movements, like clean and press, snatch, overhead carries, all kinds of rowing and pressing movements and lunges from different positions. And you could incorporate that with bodyweight training. If you want to, you could incorporate one of those door mount pull-up bars. I mean, there's millions of them on the market.
Hey, I've got one of those in my apartment.
Yeah, I think those, I always tell my athletes, I was like, you definitely need a pull-up bar in your house. And every time you pass it by, you want to do a couple reps because, you know, that's how you're going to get good at it. The strength is a skill, so it's going to be practiced. And then I like what you do. I like seeing people going outside to get training and to get fresh air, which brings them back to, you know, how we were as kids. We were outside and we played, and you go down to that seawall and you're always sprinting stairs and doing all your outdoor work. And there's a lot to be said about that. And also, like, those that have been following you for a while, like, they could you know, one thing I understand is the reason why you're always so upbeat and your personality is just like so high all the time is because you get a lot of fresh air and you're doing what you love. And I think that, number one, that comes from training, but number two, that freedom. You're kind of like your own physical artist, a body artist. You're outside training. You don't really, you know, you always have that plan, but then you're always like, I went out, I felt like this and decided to do that. So that's only something that you could learn by getting out there and training, and it just says a lot about what you do. I like that. I'd like to see people just start with dumbbells, get outside, and then I love using kettlebells. So if you start with one kettlebell, that's a great way to it's a great way to have basically what I call a gym in one if you want to make the investment in a kettlebell. If you don't, you know, you could find dumbbells that are used on Craigslist and eBay.
Oh, yeah. They're not expensive either.
I think in my neck of the woods,
they're about even if you buy them new, they're like $1 a pound.
Yeah, they're new and if they're used, you should be able to get them for less depending on where you live. Of course, that's always gonna change. The dumbbells, body weight, I mean, a lot of my workouts personally and even with my athletes are very much centered around a lot of dumbbell work, combo lifts where you combine two movements into one, and body weight training, because body weight training can really be pushed to such a advanced level, or it could be regressed to ultra, ultra beginner who's never worked out.
Yeah. I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know, you don't really need that much equipment, because I work out in a space that's maybe 6 feet by 6 feet.
Wow.
And I live in a little tiny apartment up in a high rise in the middle of the city, so I don't have a lot of space.
Right.
But I've got some equipment, and I made sure I got heavy with it, and I get my heart rate way up, and I'm sweating up a storm by the end of it, and I usually have my balcony door wide open in the middle of the winter by the end of it, too, and I'm still, it's an awesome workout, so, you know, and I can crank my music, whatever I want to do.
I've seen some really cool setups like that. I remember, actually, when I bought my first pair of kettlebells, the guy actually, you know, he had a pretty big house, but he would deadlift in, like, the downstairs, like, den. And there was, like, couches all around. And then, like, right off to the side was, like, a barbell with over 300 pounds. And I was like, so you do a couple deadlifts, watch a little TV, do a little bit of deadlifting. But he was really fit. And then so his equipment was that big, heavy barbell. And he had a lot of kettlebells, and he did a lot of body weight training. So, I mean, but like I said, and like you're proof positive. You're so fit, you're ripped, and you're in a 6x6. You know, a lot of people can't get their asses out to a gym. You don't need to go to a gym.
No.
I'd much rather pump my own music, create my own atmosphere, have the door open, getting fresh air, you know, hearing the sounds of the outside. I'm way more connected to that than going to a gym, and everybody's on their cell phone nowadays.
Yeah.
Man, it just drives me nuts.
Me too. Hey, I'm glad you mentioned kettlebells, because I know that kettlebells and chains seem to be sort of an upcoming trend or an ongoing thing right now, and I just wanted to know, what the heck are they?
I mean, I know what they are,
but can you tell everybody else what they are?
In a nutshell, I mean, if you never heard of them or you've never seen them, it looks like a cannonball with a handle going around it, okay, or almost like those old tea kettles. And they just go in different weights. I mean, I've seen them as light as, you know, 6 or 8 pounds and as heavy as 130 to 150 pounds.
Well, how do they change things up from just basic dumbbells?
Oh, man, and they're fun to use, and they improve athleticism. You could go, a lot of people say, you could do the same stuff you can with a dumbbell as with a kettlebell. The kettlebell requires more athleticism than the dumbbell. It requires more practicing of skill, which is going to, you know, include more working out, you know, so it's going to be a little bit tougher in the beginning to learn the movements. A lot of people say that, like, the main difference is just the handle makes it a grip workout. That's not at all the main difference. I mean, the big difference is that there's such versatility in the kettlebell. Dumbbells are fantastic, but the kettlebells, you could do the juggling. You could go immediately from an upper body movement to a lower body movement or vice versa. And one thing I love to use with kettlebells is various carries, just carrying them from all the positions, and the complexes. And a complex is basically stringing together a series of exercises, you know, 5-10 reps at a time. So squats, into lunges, into shoulder presses, into rowing, into swings. It's just friggin' fantastic. And you could, you know, you could throw it in the back of your car, take it to the park. Speaking of throwing, you can throw them. So if you're, like, out in an open area and nobody's around and it's safe, you could throw it and chase it, throw it again, chase it. And you could do various types of throws that a show in the underground strength system. So it's such a diverse training tool. You know, the limits are really only in your mind. There's so many different things you could do on them. But what I would definitely recommend people to do is, if you're going to use kettlebells, go to somebody who's qualified to teach you how to use them. If not, pick up an instructional DVD with them. But the reason why I like sending people to, like, a qualified trainer is because once you learn the skill, maybe a 36-pound kettlebell was tough, but then, like, 3-4 workouts later, you find that that 44-pound kettlebell is the right fit for you. So it's just an easier way to learn before you invest your money in the one kettlebell, because they are a little bit pricey. But, you know, if you think about it, Jackie, like, a kettlebell might cost you about $100, $150, maybe $200 if it's a heavy, heavy one. But you want to know what? You know, your gym membership is going to cost you $150, $350, depending on where you are per year. And you don't really use it that much, from what I've seen. Notice people, they don't go to the gym that they sign up for.
From January through March, they do.
Yeah, exactly. Those first, like, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe 12 weeks, they're gung ho about it. And, you know, if something's so important to you, then you don't need to make a New Year's resolution. Just resolve to get that done now.
I refuse to make New Year's resolutions because the calendar shouldn't dictate when I resolve to do something that's important to me.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Highly motivated people don't need to do New Year's resolutions. They don't. They're always goal setting. They reach a goal, boom, they set another one, something to challenge them. You know, if something's important, I will not suddenly change on January 1st. Like, I will not become a better person all of a sudden.
That's true. So, hey, what about chain workouts? I haven't tried that yet, and I'm pretty curious about it.
We use chains primarily for loading ourselves with body weight. You could use it if you're a serious powerlifter and you want to do that. But, you know, the strongest guys, especially those from the 60s, 70s, they did not have chains or the rubber bands that many of the powerlifters use today. They just had straight up heavy weight, barbells, dumbbells. We'll use chains to drape them over our neck or on various parts of the body when doing push-ups, dips, pull-ups, things of that nature. I tend to use them a lot because it's just two of the real big movements in our workouts is lots of different push-up variations, lots of different pull-up variations. Sometimes we go heavy on pull-ups where we're doing like 3 to 5, 3 to 6 reps. Other times they're maxing out where, you know, we could have athletes doing 20-plus reps. On the push-ups, it allows us to improve strength or possibly do extended sets. So if somebody's got 80 pounds of chains on them, as they get fatigued, we keep stripping off a 20-pound chain and allows them to do an extended set or a drop set and really hit new muscle fibers. It's really just, I think it's a toy that you could add later on when you've really got your workouts dialed in. Somebody like yourself, I think you'd have fun with them, doing all kinds of push-up variations with them. And some people even use them for, like, shoulder raises and things of that nature. But primarily with us, it's the body weight pushing and pulling.
All right. So this might seem like a no-brainer kind of question, but just in case people are confused about where to get them, where do you go to get chains?
A lot of the equipment I get is coming from a website that I'm on their Q&A. It's called Elite Fitness Systems or EliteFTS.com. And the reason why, especially the chains, their chains are non-rust. And I know people that would like to say, oh, I'm going to pick up chains from a junkyard. You don't want to be hanging rusty, dirty anything on your body, especially if you have any kind of open wound. And I'm talking an open wound that sometimes you can't even see to the naked eye. So you're better off, you know, hygiene and health reasons. You get your chains from Elite FTS, or you just get one chain, a 20-pound chain. And that could change your entire, you know, pull-up and push-up workout. And heck, if all somebody did was pull-ups and push-ups, you know, I'm talking on a regular basis, 5 days a week, you'd see, you know, quite an impressive upper body.
Right. Okay, well, I just learned something because I thought you were going to say go to Home Depot.
If you go to Home Depot, to be honest, I'm not sure if any of their chains, I'm sure they have some. And I think somebody even told me they went to Walmart and picked up chains. You got to make sure that they are
non-rust.
Yeah, non-rust chains. I can't emphasize that enough.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's great information. Thanks for sharing that. So you mentioned push-ups and pull-ups. Those are two body weight moves. I know you've got your sort of top five or six body weight moves. I wonder if you could tell us what those are. But, you know, obviously we know push-ups and pull-ups are two of them.
Push-ups, pull-ups, I mean, I always tell people you got to eat them for breakfast. I'm pretty much do push-ups, I mean, pull-ups 5 days a week. You know, whether sometimes not too hard, other days very hard, sometimes with weight, sometimes without weight. All different kinds of grips and handles. Rope climbing is amazing. Handstand push-ups are awesome. And squats and squat jumps and jumps of all types for the lower body, I love them. And one-legged lower body movements, if you could do pistols or assisted pistols, those are fantastic. So if we broke it down, push-ups and handstand push-ups, pull-ups and rope climbing, squatting and jumping, and lunge movements, and for, like, if we're talking, like, pure ab training or really core work, any kind of, like, hand walking on a power wheel or with a partner holding your ankles or hanging leg raises, those are insane for developing, you know, strong, powerful abs and a tight core.
It sounds like you can put a lot of variety into just those few core movements as well, right? So people don't get too bored.
It could be like never ending. I mean, it could be.
You really don't need weights. You can get a kick-ass workout with just your body.
You can, and some people, you know, that's all they do is body weight. Me personally, I love the variety, so I love to use sandbags. I love to use kettlebells. I love dumbbells, but I always, you know, the basics are barbells, dumbbells, and body weight. Those are really the basics and stuff that I do. Every workout has some sort of body weight training for me, every workout, and it's just key. And today, you know, I trained one of the best wrestlers in the country, probably ranked right now somewhere around like top six, maybe top eight, and that's at 1,000. And he was doing a ton of body weight training today. It's not beyond anybody. In fact, some of the most powerful athletes, the smartest athletes, professional, Olympic level, body weight training makes up a huge, you know, gist of their workouts.
Right. I noticed also in the Underground Strength Manual that you go against a regular protocol of timing your reps and going, you know, the usual go slow and methodically, two seconds up, 2 seconds down. You recommend a more explosive and faster moves. And I just wanted to know if you could explain your reasoning behind this particular recommendation.
Well, I'm training somebody for athleticism. I want them to be explosive, but not, I don't want it confused with, I don't want fast confused with sloppy and out of control. So
right.
Number one, you've got to be in charge and be in control of the movement or the weight or the implement that you're using. And just train, if you train fast and explosive, that's how you train your body to perform. You know, the bodybuilders go slower because they require more time under tension. That's what allows them to hit new muscle fibers and basically grow the muscles. So they go down slow, up slow. They exaggerate the speed. That could be done if you're somebody who just wants to add muscle. But I think everybody should add some sort of element of real-world strength and, you know, at the least start your workouts with some sort of, like, you know, that's like your most important lift. So it's got to be explosive and aggressive, yet just under control. And then you could follow up with some of the more controlled repetition tempo.
Right. So, I mean, you said not sloppy. And for me in particular, I'm just worried about people going too fast and getting sloppy, and then form suffers, and then you wind up getting hurt, right?
That's the main thing. If you're training out of control, we just raised our chances of you getting injured tenfold. So
yeah,
you've got to be under control, and that's where the ego comes in. So if you start doing a set and you're out of control or you're just not moving it with proper technique, cut the set, lighten it up, kind of regroup your mind, and then start over again with that lighter weight but just real tight technique. And I actually, you know, I'm extremely, you know, crazy anal about it in the way that I'd rather I have somebody go lighter with better technique. Even if they could move the weight, let's say they could deadlift the weight heavier but their back is rounding, you know, a lot of people would let that slide and say, you know, to hell with it. They're lifting the weight. It's going up. It's going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would rather go lighter and just improve the technique. And if it's a little bit lighter, maybe we could be a little more explosive, but the technique has to be dialed in. I mean, I'm a little bit too crazy on it, but that's just me. I'm very strict on technique. That's the first thing you got to learn.
Yeah, no, I'm totally in that camp with you, Zach. Totally. I think form's really, really important. Staying away from injuries is the main reason. So anyway, in the Underground Strength Manual, I loved your section on the farm boy training. Actually, the name of it made me laugh. But tell us a little bit more about that.
That was inspired because coming from my background of wrestling, I'm in New Jersey, and we're close to Pennsylvania. Ohio's not too far away, and we just always found that the guys, the wrestlers from Pennsylvania, Ohio, that were not really working out or lifting weights. They came from like families that owned farms. They did a lot of manual labor. They had what I call this farm boy strength, or basically like the contractors here, masons, guys that are doing a lot of brick work and carrying heavy stones. They not only were strong, they didn't only look strong, but they were strong. And that just got me into thinking that there was like a different way of strength, a different way to develop strength. And you could say that maybe it kind of like hits those in-between muscles that just don't get worked when you're using barbells and dumbbells. I know a lot of people say, oh, you only need barbells and dumbbells, but it's a totally different strength. Like, you know, the kid I was training today, he could probably put 200 pounds over his head with a barbell military press, but we used 130 pounds with a sandbag getting it overhead, and after two sets with the 130, man, that thing was kicking his ass. We dropped down to the 75-pound sandbag. So it's such a different feeling. It might weigh the same, but the 75 pounds in one of those odd objects feels like 150 pounds. And so those, you know, farm boy objects is things like those kids would flip the tires from the tractors. They would carry, you know, heavy bags filled with any who knows what, or they would carry hay or buckets of food for the animals. They would drag logs or carry things. So it was very primitive motions. It was like carrying, lifting, dragging, throwing, but it developed such an incredible strength. I mean, it was like superhuman type strength if you've never felt it before. And it inspired me to just train differently. And now we mix that in with some more, I guess, like typical methods, you know, like a typical squat, deadlift, press, things like that, but we're also doing those odd objects to develop that farm boy strength. And it's not just for boys, you know, the ladies could do it too. Yeah. I always like to say that strength and like just human movement doesn't discriminate against males or females. It's for whoever wants to use it. That's the bottom line.
Well, like you said, even for stay-at-home moms chasing after their kids or hoisting a kid while they're doing the laundry at the same time or whatever, this kind of training is invaluable.
Oh, it would be, yeah, it's awesome. And even, like, people running boot camps are doing that. I see them. They're, like, having, like, you know, moms, like, flipping tires, carrying sandbags, dragging sleds, and the ladies love it. You know, they're not afraid to work hard. I found that guys are more afraid to work hard. The girls always are more motivated to transform themselves. It's the men that, you know, too often act like a bunch of wimps.
That's pretty funny. I noticed that you and your crew, that you'll pretty much work out anywhere. I noticed in the book you talk about getting out in the driveway to push or pull a car or a truck, you know, heading over to the playground. And you mentioned your humble beginnings were in a freezing 30-degree garage as well. I mean, personally, I don't think you're insane, but I think a lot of people might.
Yeah. You know what? It's just
that. You got to get it where you can get it, right?
Absolutely. It's my level of commitment, but it's also, you know, training to me, like I mentioned when we started the course, like, that's my passion. It's really, you know, training is in my blood, and if I don't train, I will go crazy. Like, so
yeah.
People think I'm crazy when I train. Like, you know, sometimes I don't work out on Saturday and Sunday, you know, like going a full-blown workout. I'll sneak in some push-ups and squats on the weekend, but, man, on Monday I'm dying. I just, like, that's all I could think about is I can't wait to train. And to me, this is my meditation. This is like my ritual. This is how I keep myself as sane as I can. That's my drug to me. You know, other people have their own addictions. I'm addicted to any kind of lifting, and that's why I don't discriminate against what training methods or tools that I use, except for you're not going to really catch me on machines. I describe it like a soul surfer. You know, a surfer, he or she would go on a longboard, a shortboard, or they might do body surfing, you know, where they're not using any surfboard, but they're just drawn to the water, and they'll ride waves with whatever allows them to ride waves, and that's kind of how I am with lifting.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's my drug, too. It really is.
Nice.
Something about having endorphins running through my body all the time is what keeps me sane. So I also want to talk about playground training. If someone's got a playground nearby and wants to work out in one, what kinds of things can you actually do in a playground?
If if you don't even bring any equipment to a playground, you know, go back and sit back, actually, and watch what kids do. They do all the hand walking on the monkey bars. They're swinging on the monkey bars. They jump on and off of things. They're sprinting and running. They're climbing up and climbing down things. Those are the movements that are really going to work your muscles. All the sprinting and jumping is going to develop legs. I mean, that's one of the best lower body leg workouts and leg movements you could even use for not just conditioning but adding muscle. All of the, like, climbing on the monkey bars works your grip, shoulders, your entire upper body. And as you're moving, like, your knees up and down and shifting your hips, your entire trunk, your abs, you know, like, that is true core training. You could do lunges and step-ups. You could do push-ups, feet elevated push-ups, dips using the park bench. You could jump on and off the park benches. We've used picnic tables for pressing and jumping on them and hand walking. The limits to the playground are truly endless. And then, you know, a lot of people have like a TRX or a jungle gym or anything, or even a towel. You could sling it around the pull-up bars and do all kinds of extra pull-ups using those, you know, those TRX straps or any of those things or any of the towels. Just get a beach towel. I mean, you can do a lot of awesome rowing and everything with it. It's a great workout. There's, you know, no rules to it again.
Well, so while you're running around the playground acting like an animal, how do you avoid scaring the kids?
Yeah. It's, you know, nowadays, like, you don't see too many kids at the playgrounds. They're, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these playgrounds are just, like, empty. There's not a lot of kids going out being active. It depends where you are. You know, luckily for me, I'm moving to a beach town, and whenever you're near the water, people seem to be much more health conscious, and the kids are outside, and the air is better, so there's going to be a lot more kids outside, but, you know, you got to hit the playgrounds when the kids aren't there.
That's pretty good advice. So you just mentioned no rules very quickly, and I just wanted to you'd explain a little bit more to us about your no rules training concept. I mean, no rules? I mean, there must be some guidelines to no rules, or no?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, you gotta get a workout that has no rules as far as the typical set rep pattern or the typical time frame that you could train in, or any of that nature. Obviously, the rule is you want to train with proper technique. But, you know, I've had workouts where it's just one exercise, and you're going to get one rep every 30 seconds for the next 30 minutes. So it could be a tire flip. It could be a clean and press. Something that's really a far cry from the typical workout, and certainly nothing that you're going to find in some, like, you know, those, you know, a scientific training, you know, a scientific training book that tells you how it's, you must optimally do this many sets and this many reps at this percentage. Like, there is definitely a time where you need to throw all that scientific crap out the window and just go in and train, you know, like an animal, and just not think of this workout and just let it happen.
Yeah. Well, one of those things that you can do while you're training like an animal is stone training. So tell us a little bit about stone training.
Well, just the way it started happening was when I trained athletes at my dad's, my mom and dad's house, is the backyard has a lot of stones. It, like, separates, like, these two levels of the backyard. And my lack of equipment kind of was, I guess, a blessing in disguise. And I didn't really, you know that I should do one thing or the other with stones. But what I did know was, I remember watching, like, the World's Strongest Man, and they would do all kinds of lifting with the stones. So we just mimicked that as well as mimicked the barbell movements with stones. And it just changed things up. It was an awkward object, one side heavier than the other, a lot of grip work involved, and it's a ground-based movement at all times because it's a dead weight on the ground. So it ain't moving until you get that thing to move on your own. And it's a cool training tool if you get, you know, if you have basically a park nearby, which tend to have stones of all shapes and sizes around, and you don't need to go buy stones. You just go to the parks and playgrounds, and it's like part of the natural surroundings. Also, could go out and, like, just hike through the trails or run through trails or mixture of running and hiking, and if you find a stone, perform an exercise, then you walk with it, drop the stone, hike and sprint some more. So, you know, getting outside and figuring out what you could do with your natural surroundings could totally revitalize your workout and transform your body.
Yeah. Well, I've got to say, your Underground Strength Manual really is totally chock full of great workouts and ideas. And I think it's pretty much great for anybody, but especially those who hate commercial gyms, who want to get in shape, and if they follow your principles, I think that, you know, they can't go wrong. So I'm going to throw a link up here for anyone who's interested in picking it up. But if you're just listening in, just go to gwnn.me/USM to grab that. And but before you guys do that, let's talk a little bit more about something that got me hooked, is your loyal follower, Zach, way back when, and that's mindset. I mean, I think you really do kick total ass when it comes to making up your mind that you're going to do something and then just going and doing what it takes just to totally get it done. You know, I mean, that's what I love about you, and that's what I'm all about, too. It's the whole no excuses, no whiners, take no prisoners attitude. So tell me a little bit about, I mean, for you in your head, what it takes to really and truly commit to something and wrap your head firmly around the concept of failure is not an option.
Yeah. I found that you just can't motivate people. I mean, the motivation could last a short time, and then the candle burns out. It's got to come from within, so there has to be something deep in your heart that means enough to you that you make a real powerful decision to be committed to something. And no matter what happens, you know, true commitment, when things go unplanned, you don't stray from your plan, from your commitment.
Right.
So even today, you know, some of these kids, some of these wrestlers from this Division I team didn't show up to train. I mean, Division I is the pinnacle of competition, And these are guys that could have gotten in an extra workout. And what I say, that's like the extra inch to get the winning edge. And it's not, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you got to go the extra mile. You know what? Sometimes it's not even a mile. Sometimes all you got to do is one extra inch. And
yeah.
It reminds me big time of the speech Al Pacino gave in that movie, Any Given Sunday. Life is about inches. It's like inch by inch. And a lot of people, they never take that next step. They never go that extra inch because they think it's so big. Like, oh, I have to do all this work. I can't motivate you. I refuse to motivate people. You've got to want it more than anything else. And that's why, like you and I were just saying, the resolutions, they wear off. The candle burns out.
Yeah.
It's all intrinsic. It's really
yeah.
going to come from you. But it helps to be around the right people and be surrounded by people who are highly motivated. But, you know, that's not going to be the make or break factor.
Yeah. I mean, when I first said that I was going to get in kick butt shape, I didn't have anybody around me that had that kind of, you know, I wasn't surrounded by those kinds of people. So it was all totally internally motivated, totally. And that's how I kind of got on the internet and found people like you, is that I needed to find that kind of people to be around. So I just started surrounding myself with the internet community that was as kick-ass as you are. So one of the things that I found when I did that was your blog. And I want to just take 1 second to read a small excerpt from one of your most recent blogs because I love it so much.
Okay.
You started out with saying, kicking ass isn't for everyone, period. It's too hard. I'm too tired. It's too expensive. A family emergency came up. I'm busy. I don't have time. And then excuses piss me off. I love that. That's on my vision wall. I cut that out, put it on my vision wall because I loved it so much. Because you're right. Excuses piss me off, too. I just think mindset is just such an important thing. I just wish more people could figure it out for themselves and wrap their heads around it firmly, you know, like you have.
It's insane the amount of excuses that people come up with.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely does fire me up, and I've been on a roll lately because I'm really fed up with any of that crap. So
yeah.
You got to be your own warrior, so to speak, and don't expect people to help you out and help you along the way. It's a lonely trip if you want to be an ass kicker. It's a lonely place.
Yeah, it really is. I know we talked about music earlier, and I know that we've already talked about how you like to have it loud and strong. But what kinds of music do you actually train to?
A lot of rock, and then some of like the heavier rap stuff. So we'll listen to like Van Halen, Metallica, Public Enemy, NWA. Man, I wish I had my iPod in front of me because everybody always asks me this question, and then I forget what the heck we have on there.
If you had to pick your one favorite workout song, I always put the workout song of the day at the bottom of my blog post. So
yeah.
If you had to pick your one favorite workout song, what would that be? I'm going to load it up for people.
Yeah, I've been really digging Van Halen, not Panama, crap. I wish I don't know why I don't remember the other. I'm going to have to email it to you later.
Okay.
Yeah, it's with Eddie Van Halen, though. It's like the old school, not Eddie Van, it's with David Lee Roth, my fault. So, what the heck is the name of that song? I don't even remember, but, man, it kicks ass. So
right.
I like cranking that thing, and I was listening to that today while we were training. It's great.
Okay, I'm gonna hit you up for that once we hang up on email. You also have a membership site, and that's Underground Strength Coach?
Yep, that's it.
So, yeah, can you tell us a little bit about what comes with membership to that one?
Yeah, that's really the all-access package to me and kind of like inside my life and what I do. So we've got hundreds and hundreds of videos, which is training footage spanning from, you know, my days and still my days of training outdoors and all kinds of different playgrounds to how to, like, build all kinds of equipment, home gym workouts, backyard workouts, playground workouts, gym workouts, and every month I put up a new underground workout of the month. Every week I've got some sort of new video or new article. I put up interviews or podcasts. The podcast could come from myself or could come from another industry expert that, you know, that I really respect and that really does great stuff. It's just constant, you know, updating of information. And it's got a great forum with what I like to say is the right kind of people. So, like we said, surround yourself with the right people. You know, I monitor that forum highly to make sure that there's no, you know, jerks on the forum being bringing negativity. It's something I'm very strict with.
Oh, good. Right on. Yeah, so for anybody who's interested in joining up on that or just wants to go and check it out, the quickest route there is just to go to gwnn.me/USC. So that's GWNN, like girl with no name, shortened, .me. /USC Underground Strength Coach, so USC. So what other goodies have you got lined up if they join up or grab your training manual right now, Zach?
So if they go to USC, they get a free ebook when they go in there. And then, of course, like those updates are always going to be coming through. And if they pick up the Underground Strength System, that thing is huge. Get your iPod ready. I've got... you're not going to find a better collection of really hardcore training interviews. And this could really pack your library, or if you want to burn them to CD, there's like 15 or 14 audio interviews that come with it. It's, like you said, this could be somebody's Bible to training at home and away from a typical gym.
Oh, right on. So lots of good, great stuff. And I understand that just for the people listening in here, my loyal followers and your loyal followers, if they're to buy, to grab the Underground Strength Manual or join Underground Strength Coach here now, you've got a little something extra special?
We're going to try to, we're trying to get a hold of a special audio. I haven't checked my email since you and I emailed this morning, but... we're trying to get hold of that special audio that we're talking about. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. So this, you want me to explain what it was on?
Yeah, could you?
Jonathan Fields, who's got a blog called Career Renegade, interviewed me on basically, I guess the way you explain it is how I kick ass. So the question really came from how I started my business. And it's basically all based on mindset and how I went from growing the business to basically earning $5 an hour to being able to support, you know, my wife doesn't work, I've got two kids, buying a new house it's not even a mile away from the beach, like I could ride my bike there in a few minutes, and just being, most importantly, doing what I love, and that's something that I think not enough people get to do.
Right.
Or even pursue. So it's really I've never done an interview like that before, and
right,
nobody's asked me questions like that before. So it's a really deep interview, and even if you're not like into business, but if you're into life, you know what I'm saying, you're gonna love it.
Awesome, that's awesome, Zach. Okay, so for anybody who wants to grab that through the links here, then it's GWNN.me/USM. So GWNN.me/USM, like Underground Strength Manual, or GWNN.me/USC for Underground Strength Coach. So if you just grab the book or join the club through those links and email me your receipt at GWNN@girlwithnoname.com, I'll make sure that you guys get set up with that. So, Zach, this has been awesome. I mean, total honor on my part to have you here. I really appreciate all being able to tap into your head and knowledge base. It's been an honor.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm sure you're moving house soon, so I'm sure you're very busy and have to get on with it. And actually, I hear my weight stat calling me.
Nice.
Now you've inspired me to go out there and crank one out before I continue with my work day.
Good. I know you're
I'm going to go get sweaty and let you get back to life. And thanks again. I really, really appreciate having you here.
Thank you, and thanks to everybody that was on the call. And I'll talk to you through email.
Excellent. Talk to you
soon. Cool. Thanks, Jackie. Bye,
Take
everybody.
Care. Bye-bye.